B-Pod Studios.
And now, I'm just trying to spell it out for the listener.
Felger and Mast.
S-T-O-O-P-I-D.
T-E-P-I-D.
B-O-B.
Boom.
Isn't that Bob?
Felger and Mast.
Q-U-I-T quick.
Okay, thank you. No, spell up for me too. I'm an idiot.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, so my last little hockey thought, NHL-wise, small, but it just, I kind of feel strongly about it, so I'll bring it up. And that is Mike Milbury is off the broadcast on NBC. And I haven't heard him comment publicly. I just Googled it. I don't know if he's spoken. I hope he wanted it in some fashion. But I don't know. I'm led to believe maybe not. I mean, I'm saying led to believe just by the fact that he hasn't said anything. And he's let the headline stand that he's out after a sexist comment last year in the bubble.
A perceived sexist comment.
And again, here's the air sexist comment in the bubble. And I'll play it for you. And I'll just ask you, do you feel this is worth someone losing their job over? Go ahead, Jimmy. Play him last year.
Come here and play hockey. And if you think about it, it's a terrific environment with regards to if you enjoy playing and enjoy being with your teammates for long periods of time, it's a perfect place.
Not even any woman had to disrupt their concentration.
Oh, and also, too, no travel.
Okay, not any women here to distract your concentration. Our recording there sucks, but, you know, you got the – that was it. That was it. Not any women here to distract your concentration. Talking about NHL hockey in the bubble. Now, is it a little dated? Is it, you know, is it borderline sexist? Is it what you, you know, should be saying in this day and age? I suppose not. Does a guy lose his job over that?
No.
Nope. No, it's completely ridiculous.
I mean, it is. It's laughable, frankly. And it's scary on some level, too, but it's laughable. And so the idea that they wouldn't bring him back, which, frankly, I was worried about, because they asked him to, you know, they sent him home in the middle of the playoffs. And then, you know, I don't think this is out of the ordinary where all of a sudden they got to make the decision for the next year. And here it is. And now he's not back. What? That's a coincidence. So obviously, in this case, it isn't. I was worried about it. And I think it's a disgrace.
Oh, I mean, and so like. Just the cancel culture and that thing is gross. It's just, it's disgusting that cost someone his job. That is, oh my God, that is just going way too far. Way, way, way too far. Which is a whole nother story. And that's really not what I want to get into. What I wanted, my point is that, boy, does the national broadcast need Mike Milbury. One of my complaints is that I find NBC's coverage of the NHL a little on the bland side. And, you know, Mike Milbury was one of the few guys that would, you know, fire off an opinion or piss somebody off or do something. And I just find, and it's, you know, I've picked on the NHL and the NBC coverage for this because I really do think that they suffer from it. It's a very bland form of coverage, I think. But really, most leagues are like it. The NHL is more like everybody else, and they're so far away from the gold standard of the NBA and how the NBA lets their networks cover their league. It frustrates me. It frustrates me because I think hockey is the sport that you should be colorful and you should take chances and you should not be afraid to offend. And it's hockey. It's a fringe sport to begin with. It's like, you're not talking about national security here or the national pastime or anything like that. It's flipping hockey. There's not many people are watching the thing anyway. It is, I'm sorry to break it to you, one step up from wrestling. So, you know, have some freaking fun with the thing. But they don't. It's just so, and it's not Catherine Tappan's fault. It's not, it's just, it's obviously what they want is a network. It's like, I mean, they just put these guys up there. I love Keith Jones. I think he's great and a great dude and solid, but it's just like, does he ever say anything, like really move the needle or get anything going? Do they ever argue on that set?
No, it's all very vanilla, very robotic.
They don't argue with each other. They don't really take anybody on. They certainly don't challenge anything with the league. And it's good, solid analysis from Keith Jones, who's great. And the rest of them who, you know, Anson Carter, I remember here. I covered him. I like him. Nice guy. Patrick Sharp, beautiful, beautiful man. Again, I've said before, I can look longingly into the eyes of Patrick Sharp. I get mesmerized by his beauty. That is a gorgeous dude. But I can't tell you a single thing he's ever said. I don't think he says anything. You know, the two guys who would ever say anything ever were Milbury and Roenick. And they neutered Roenick. You know, they absolutely made him a eunuch. And then they fired him because he said something on Barstool, right? I think.
Yeah.
So the two guys who you could count on for any sort of color, any sort of something, are gone. Milbury and Roenick. And what am I left with? Like, it's just this straight point A to point B hockey analysis. And it's like, come on, guys, you're hockey. Have some fun with the thing. Take a chance. Rip somebody. Say something. But, you know, in fairness to them, they don't do it in football. You know, there's no football broadcast, Maz, where they argue on set. Remember the old Monday Night Football with Howard and Giffith?
Sure, of course.
Dandy Don Meredith, I meant to say. And, you know, Cosell was always ripping the ex-jocks. And, you know, they were, you know, always back and forth. It was great. You know, what NFL broadcast crew argues on the air with each other or debates anything?
I mean, not argue. The only people that come close to actually giving you a real opinion every so often is Collinsworth and Michaels. But even those guys rein themselves in.
Look, I think Aikman is good, and I think Collinsworth is good. I think Romo has fallen way off. But Aikman and Collinsworth are good analysts. Like, I think they'll criticize and tell you who screwed up and why. And, like, I like them as analysts. But there's still no back and forth. Like, listen to the national, the ESPN ABC lead crew. That Van Gundy, Mark Jackson, is it Bream, the play-by-play guy?
Yeah.
They are terrific.
Yeah, no, they're great.
That's so good.
Yeah, and let alone the TNT crew.
Okay, never mind the panel crews, which TNT is the gold standard, but I think ESPN's panel crew is a poor man versions of it. You know, they get after it. Paul Pierce and Kendrick Perkins. Kendrick Perkins is fabulous. He doesn't look quite right. You know what I'm talking about? Like the Patrick Sharp.
Yeah, right.
Looks perfect, sounds perfect, doesn't say a thing. Perk's just the opposite. He's got this thick Texas accent, and he looks kind of scary, and he's kind of hard to understand every now and then. But, boy, he brings it. He is a fabulous analyst. And go.
He had a great one today. Did you hear it?
No.
Where he said Durant is Batman, Harden is Robin, and Kyrie is Alfred.
So, like, Perk is outstanding, but he doesn't look right, he doesn't sound right, and he rips people. He'd be nowhere near the hockey broadcast. And that's who hockey should be, taking chances on guys like that. It's hockey! You're wrestling. Oh, by the way, I don't even know if you're as popular as wrestling. So what are you trying to preserve there on these hockey broadcasts? Get someone on there and bring it for the love of Pete. But I'm telling you, no one does it. None of those football broadcast teams really bring it. The panel crews in the NFL, they're massive. There's 18 guys on the set, but no one really takes anybody on. There's no true back and forth like you get on the TNT sets. That ESPN ABC lead game crew, Mark Jackson and Van Gundy, they will rip the league. They will rip the officials. They will argue with each other. Like, and they'll give you great games. They bring it all. And I think they are so exceptional. And I'm so impressed that Adam Silver lets his broadcast partners do that. And he's so right about it. It doesn't hurt the brand. It doesn't bring the brand down. It brings more entertainment to the game, and it enhances the product. But I feel like Gary Bettman is petrified of this, or the folks at NBC, or something. It's like, so there, and this is just my long rant of, you know, Milbury was one of the few guys that would ever say anything or do anything, or maybe get a banter going back and forth, or some sort of argument, or some sort of something, as opposed to just Patrick Sharp winking at me in the camera.
Well, because I think a lot of these guys are maybe worried about what their next job might be, or they're looking to get back in their leagues as a coach, or, you know, in some way, shape, or form, to work with a team again. I think that's why some of these guys rein themselves in and don't actually say anything.
I mean, but if you do want to, I'm not going to do this because I'm not going to, you know, entertain the angry white guy thing. You know, you do that somewhere else. But if I wanted to, I mean, I could really do it. But Mike Milbury gets canned for that. He gets canned for that there aren't any women around to distract you. Like, here's Stephen A. Smith. I just want to do this and maybe this speaks to more of the NBA thing, frankly, that the NBA is just willing to have a commentary that's, you know, that pushes it. But compare what Mike Marable, one line that took maybe 3 seconds, and there's not any women around here to get distracted over. Gone. Stephen A. Smith went on a rant about how NBA players couldn't make it in their bubble because they wouldn't be able to have sex with their women. Listen, go ahead, Jimmy, play it.
Do we really think that our the recreational activities, what these guys are accustomed to, are going to be compromised for 3 months? I mean, somebody's got to say it. Somebody's got to say it. You really, really think that people are going to be without their wives or their woman? Okay? I mean, the guys that are married without their wives, the guys that ain't married without their woman, you really, really think they honor in a bubble for 3 months and are going to deprive? Somebody got to tell the truth.
Stephen A., they've set up ping pong tournaments.
There's lots of fun activities scheduled. Hey, listen, after a month, I just said forget 3 months. They're going to struggle with 3 weeks. Why you think they won in Vegas? Can we stop?
Okay, stop. I mean, so he goes on there, and that's fun stuff, right?
Yeah.
Is it a little sexist? I mean, I guess probably, but is anyone really getting hurt with that commentary?
No.
I mean, I think it's more critical of men and how like base and primitive they are in a lot of ways. Like, you know, there's just certain things that a guy cannot control.
But they're saying the same things, right? They're saying the same thing.
Of course.
Stephen A. says it. No problem. Now, is that because of the way the NBA, treats their coverage? They're more open to it. They get it, you know, and the NHL doesn't? Or is it that Stephen A. is woke and Milbury's not? Like, I don't know. But to me, they're both fine. They're both fine. And if you find them a little sexist, then call it sexist. No problem. Call it sexist. Someone shouldn't be losing his job over saying there's no women here to get distracted over.
Mike, like, the fact that Milbury lost his job over this is a joke.
It's pathetic as well.
It's a joke, really. It's embarrassing. I mean, because again, it was a nothing comment. It was a nothing comment. And I'm not saying it wasn't amusing or entertaining. I'm just saying in terms of the third rail or, you know, the eject button or whatever you want to call it, canceling them, it was a nothing comment.
Oh, it's just, and it's... and it frustrates me, you know, on that level, that a broadcaster can lose his livelihood over that. Okay, but I don't want to talk about that because that's going to get annoying and political. If we're just going to keep it to sports, they're going to miss him on the broadcasts. They're going to miss him on the broadcasts because they don't the NHL broadcasts don't do what the NBA does, and they're hurt by it. I'm sorry, they're hurt by it, and it frustrates me that we don't have a little more juice there on those broadcasts, especially when it's hockey. There's only a few people watch. It's a fringy thing. Have some fun with it, man. All right. Anyway, there's that rant. I promise. Your calls on everything. The Bruins were still hitting on that Harden trade. Oh, guess who's still here in net for the Bruins, by the way? We'll start to hit on that as well, so don't go anywhere.
It's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
It's the show the crowd goes wild for. It's Felger and Mass, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
I'm comfortable with Tuukka. I think he looks great in camp. We can go back and, you know, sort of revisit each one of those things. I mean, I think it's, you know, been done. It's over with, in my estimation. I mean, I'm not going to just say it didn't happen. But at the end of the day, he's been here every day. He looks great, working out. From my conversations with him, everything's great at home. Everything's great here. He's healthy. I expect he'll have a great, you know, season for us. And that's the way I'm trying to focus on it. I think it's, yeah, you guys can, you know, talk about the other stuff, the fan base. I get all that. But for me as a coach, I'm focused on, you know, Thursday night and then going forward. And as I said, I think he looks fantastic. And we'll see where it leads from there. And like I said, I don't know what's going to happen in the future. But he's starting Thursday night, and I expect him to play well and play well all year.
All right, and then there's Rask, still here, 13th year, 14th year. Rask's 14th year. He's been 14 years. I mean, again, Ainge hoards his young players and draft picks. The Bruins hoard their old players. Bergeron, 17th year. Krejci, 15th year. Rask, 14th year. Marchand, 11th year. That is staggering. And Rask, I would say a lot of pressure on him. I almost feel like the pressure on Rask is, like, we've already put pressure on him. He's already let us down, and so now what? Now it's like, that's over. Like, no one expects anything from him anymore. No one expects him to be reliable and be there at the end and go all the way through to Game 7. No one expects it. So I don't know what kind of pressure there is. I don't think he should be here. But he is. It's his contract year. And if he wants to keep playing and he wants to go on a contract run, well, you know, maybe you're there to take advantage of it. That's just the bright side with Tuukka Rask. Otherwise, I don't think he should be here, Murray.
No, me either. And listening to Cassidy there, his whole comment to me just sounds like, well, we're going to cross our fingers and hope for the best.
You know what, Murray? See, that's how I feel when you listen to it. He was not happy with the way it went down. Like, it feels that way to me. Maybe I'm reading into it. But when you hear that comment, it's like, well, you know, it happened. I mean, you know, I'm not going to tell you it didn't happen.
Yeah. Like, he's in great shape. Looks good. We'll see.
Yeah, he was clear. I mean, you know, if he's over it now, fine. But I wonder, it doesn't sound like Cassidy's completely over it. And I'm not sure you can blame him.
All right. So that's obviously going to be a subtext all season long. And I wouldn't be surprised if he has a good regular season. He's playing for the rest of his career. He's playing for his next contract. A lot of guys respond to that. Only a 56-game schedule. Okay, Rask usually has excelled in those short spurt situations. So it's sort of set up for him. But, you know, again, get back to us on the eve of Game 7. And we'll pick whatever round you want. Let me know how you feel Game 7, Tuukka Rask lining up there. Back to your phones. Cam and Taunton on the Bees. Hi, Cam.
I think you guys have said it already. By the way, Felger, check your email. I sent you an email that I need a response from. This is all about McAvoy and Lozon. You need these guys. These are two guys who were top-pairing guys in the World Junior Final just a few years ago, meaning these were two of the four best young defensemen in the world playing for the gold medal. You need them to take that. McAvoy needs to be in the Norris running this year. No more going 40 games without a goal, buddy. That's ridiculous. You need to be in the Norris running. You need Lozon to be a competent partner, and you need Carlo to lead that second pair. That's the most important thing this year.
Okay, so I'm with you. You know what's going to help is if he's on PP1, as they like to say, Maz, and he's getting those power play minutes, he's getting that power play time. And I'm just looking here. I think Greslick's going to be on PP1 again. I think Greslick's just going to slide into the Krug role, and that's that. Coyle, Bergeron, Marchand, Greslick, Krejci is their first power play unit, and McAvoy's on the second.
Is that just because they want the left shot? Is that what that is? But see, because I would say when you said earlier that they're going to be better 5-on-5, Chara and Krug being gone also allows for McAvoy and Carlo, Carlo on the penalty kill, McAvoy on the power play, for those guys to start taking bigger roles. This is to me was the big reason why you let Chara go. You need these other guys to start taking on bigger roles now all across. Now, Carlo was out there with Chara before, but correct me if I'm wrong, Fluto Shinzawa had a story. Carlo's numbers on the penalty kill were actually better than Chara's last year. Right, so Carlo's going to be out there constantly in that role, and I'm not saying that necessarily means their penalty kill will be better, but on the power play, you got to get McAvoy out there.
Well, if you know, it's hard to be the Norris should just be the best defenseman, but offense weighs heavily, you know, in those votes, and all those guys, you know, who've won it are power play guys, so. You know, that's going to be a thing for McAvoy. Is you want him to score more and be more offensive? Put him on the power play. I think there's a pretty easy answer there.
I'd want him on the power play.
We've got Brandon in Boston on Ainge and the Celtics. Go ahead, Brandon.
Hey, guys. Thank you for taking my phone call. If I can be really quick. So now that James Harden is playing with the Nets, Danny Ainge needs to make a move. So what I do is I call up the Wizards. I give them Jaylen Brown for Bradley Beal. If they're willing to do that, that's a straight-up trade. Bradley Beal dropped 41 that game. Jaylen Brown dropped 27. Bradley Beal's dropping 30 to 40 points per game. And another reason why I want to get rid of Marcus Smart now is he doesn't fit our offense really no more. You know.
Okay, so let me just stop you on the first thing. You're shaking your head on Brown for Beal.
Because, again, look, I like Bradley Beal. He's good. Write that down. Okay, there's a player in the NBA that I like. I want you to be aware of that. Okay, he would fit. But if you're moving Brown to do it, you're stepping sideways, especially with the way Brown's playing right now. Now, look, Bradley Beal's averaging 35 points a game this year. I'm not telling you that Brown's a 35-point-a-game scorer. He's also 3 or 4 years older than Brown. So, like, I like the two-way game of if Brown continues to hit his ceiling as a full-court player, he's better than Beal. He's not as good a scorer as Beal, but as a offense, defense, full court player, I'd rather have Brown, who's bigger and is still young. And I still think, you know, now if you want to add Beal to what they have, then we can talk. I'm in.
Yeah, I'm Brown over Beal too. Bernie and Waylon. Go ahead, Bernie. Bernie!
Oh, hey, hello.
Yes, you're go.
Hey, sorry. I was just going to mention that. One of the biggest...
Bernie, I love you. I mean it. Thanks for the call. You weren't ready to go, and you just got to be ready to go. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Hey.
My dad was a turtle.
Dave and Pembroke on the NBC broadcast. Go ahead, Dave.
Hey, guys. Back to the subject of Milbury. Do you guys think that Milbury's exit had anything to do with Jeremy Roenick's comments with Catherine Tappan, and then Milbury was kind of the straw that broke the camel's back on that one?
Yeah.
I'll hang up and listen to him.
Yeah, I do. I think it's all sort of a piece.
That's part of it, and I think Milbury's had a target on his back from those that cover the league that feel he's a Neanderthal, and that was the last straw.
No question.
Yeah, it is. And he's also one of the few guys on the national broadcast that say anything or do anything or bring any sort of edge to the proceedings. And I just, you know, so if that's their call. They think Milbury is too old school in that regard. So, okay, fine. Then bring someone else and bring in some guys that are going to set some edges and, you know, really have some back and forth and some real commentary. I mean, listen to Jeff Van Gundy on those NBA broadcasts. We played you a clip from last year's playoff series against Miami where he took on the league for the direction of the league on, I think it was replay, all the time they were spending looking at flagrant fouls and these things. And in the middle of one of those replays, he was openly saying, is this what we want to do as a league? Is this what we want to do as a product? This is not helping our product. This is not helping our brand. You know, that goes right to the core of their brand, their business, their marketability, and the NBA is fine with it. Because they know that that's a good product. That's entertainment. That's a good thing to listen to have someone that brings actual, real commentary and isn't afraid to piss off the people that he's covering. Now, that's the key to the whole thing. Are you okay pissing off the people you cover? And I just, in hockey, of all sports where they should be taking chances and have a little bit more of an edge, they seem to have the least. Gino and Weymouth. Go ahead, Gino, on the Celts.
Hey, how you doing, guys? So I think the Celtics are smart for not making this trade. So regardless of if Jaylen Brown is just going through a hot streak, you don't make the trade if you're Ainge. Because during Harden's time in Houston, he wanted Dwight Howard, Chris Paul, and Russell Westbrook. And then he ended up pushing all three out the door eventually. And if you make this trade, if you're the Celtics, then you'd have to have the confidence that he wouldn't at least try to do the same with Jason Tatum or Jaylen Brown. And honestly, I have absolutely zero confidence that he'd be able to do that. I think it'd be similar to Kyrie Irving.
So Gino, yeah. You wouldn't trade Smart, a package highlighting Smart, for James Harden.
If it was Marcus Smart and you were able to control and channel Harden's emotions, I would do it.
Well, don't give me that if. Yeah, like, you're not allowed to do that. I've heard a lot of people ask, you know, answer the question that way. Do you like the Harden trade? Well, if it works, well, duh, of course, like, yeah. If Harden dials it in and does the right thing, it's going to work. Like, that's obviously, like, what kind of answer is that? Yeah, if you rein in Harden and he does the right thing, the trade's... Yes, I know that. Do you think Harden's going to do the right thing? That's the question. So, like, that's a non-answer. Do you think, Maz, that if the centerpiece of the Celtics package for James Harden was Marcus Smart and they get to keep Jaylen Brown, would Ainge have done it?
Yes.
Should they have done it?
Yes. Because, again, at that point, I think it becomes worth the risk. And when I say worth the risk... You are, you know, obviously with Harden, he's a wild card. You don't know what's going to go on there. But let me ask you this. If the Celtics lose Marcus Smart, does their grand plan get completely derailed?
No.
No.
Okay, so this is why I say then you do it. So if Harden doesn't work with Harden, you let him go, but you still got Tatum and Brown. So you go out and find yourself another 3-and-D guy. And again, and calling Smart a 3-and-D guy. Okay, so that's a stretch. He actually gives you a little bit more than that, right?
Don't encourage him.
Okay, so right, exactly, yeah. Don't encourage him is right. But the point is, he's replaceable. Marcus Smart is replaceable, and you're not going to completely sacrifice your whole thing if you add Harden to Tatum and Brown. Harden doesn't work, you dump him too, and now you still get the two guys. To me, it's about those two guys. And I saw a tweet here in the last day that apparently Woj said something to this effect, and I think he's on to something. I think we all feel this way. That he said the Celtics now, more than ever, regard Jaylen Brown, rather, is basically untouchable or pretty close, that they're moving in that direction. And so I saw that on Twitter in the last 24 hours. With the way he's playing, I don't think you move him. I mean, now look, again, if you can get a 25-year-old superstar, then I'm in. Or a 27, 28 even, I might think about it. But to trade Jaylen Brown right now for a 30-something who's got issues or baggage, I'm not doing it. He's getting too good.
All right, here's an update from Big Jim Murray. We continue with your thoughts. Bruins Celtics, don't go anywhere.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task. But after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Not complaining.
Oh, you're the mean boss. Aw.
It's just Felger.
No. It's always no.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, back to your phones here on Felger and Mass. Going back and forth between the Bruins and the Celtics. Not the easiest thing to do. I used to think you couldn't put the two together, Mass. I used to think it was one or the other. No, sir. Here is, let's see, where do I want to go? How about Mike in Danvers? He's up next on the hockey. Go ahead, Mike.
I can't begin to tell you how angry I am about this. Mike Milbury is wonderful. He's superb, and it's ridiculous. And here's Bettman, who the fans can't stand. Anyway, gets booed every stadium he goes to. But he's got half-dressed cheerleaders. He's trying to push them in every stadium in the league. And some of the stadiums said, no, we don't want that. So talk about being a hypocrite, you know. I mean, it's just ridiculous, and I wish Mike Milbury all the best.
Yeah, okay, I'll tell you. It's just the NBA gets it, as opposed to other leagues, on so many levels. But I think the rope that they allow their media partners in terms of their content during broadcasts is another example. It's a tip-off. That, you know, Adam Silver gets it, that just because Van Gundy rips his refs or a certain rule in the league, or Shaq and Charles Barkley will threaten each other by, you know, chucking chicken wings at each other, which, the, you know, those two will just get, it gets, you know how nasty and personal it gets between those two guys? And we've played you all the clips. Like, so, I mean, whether it's sort of the sideshow of them just ripping each other to shreds, or ripping a team, or ripping a player, or ripping a coach, or ripping, you know, most of all, the league, its direction, its officials, the way the game is played, everything is allowed in the NBA. You go to these games, you listen to these games, and it's on the broadcast. It's at halftime. It's there. It's on ESPN. It's on TNT. It's during the day on the ESPN programming. Those guys can say whatever they want about the NBA, just about, it feels like. Maybe China's off limits. That sort of seems to be a sensitive subject. But outside of that, they let those guys get after it.
Even button-down Doris Burke was taking shots at the replay thing in the bubble last year.
Right, but I mean, is Adam Silver sitting there going, oh, well, this is bad for the brand. We can't have our broadcast partner, you know, hurting the brand. No, he understands that the better the product is on the air, the better it is for him. And if they're being criticized, they can handle it. Like, I wish more leagues got it. I wish more leagues got it.
Oh, I couldn't agree with you more. Please, again, don't get me going on baseball. You can't say anything there.
Well, okay, well, I was going to say, Maz, I think baseball, that, you know, the Fox, listen, they used to have a great booth. That Schilling, was it Schilling, Smoltz, and whoever? Who was in that Sunday night booth?
Schilling was in there for sure. Schilling was good.
John Kruk.
Was it Kruk? They were excellent. That was a good crew. And I think even now, like, I think A-Rod's good on these broadcasts. I think Ortiz and that Fox situation's pretty good. The TBS desk with Pedro, he gets a little long-winded and he's kind of a Red Sox honk. But he says stuff. Like, I actually think it's too bad no one cares or watches it. But I think baseball actually does a pretty decent job of kind of giving you something.
Yeah, I tend to, you know, so look, I would say in those settings, Pedro is pretty good, and Ortiz will say stuff too. I'll give you that. I just happen to look at, like, the NFL Network, the MLB Network, the NHL Network.
Oh, fair.
Nothing.
Nothing.
Nothing across the board. Nothing. Now, I don't watch NBA, you know, the NBA Network. So, you know, because it feels to me like all the good analysts are elsewhere. But then again, I would say the same of the others. The only time I watch the NFL Network is when there's a game on it. I do watch the NHL Network for highlights because you're not going to get those anywhere else, really. I mean, ESPN doesn't give you enough there, so you got to go there for that. And, you know, the baseball highlights I generally get online. I just think the commentary, for the most part, in those places, when it comes, and I'm focusing on the league-owned and operated networks, awful.
The NBA allows their guys to be critical. So, you know, Milbury was critical. And they, you know, he really had to watch it. He had the governor on. But at least you'd get something every now and then. Now, he was let go for other reasons, which is like a whole other side story. That's not really my point here. I mean, I hate that he was let go for that. I think it's ridiculous. But I'm just talking about the quality of the broadcasts. You know, I mean, why can't other leagues? People don't get what makes, people don't understand why the NBA coverage is so good. They think it's the personality. Right? Like, just, oh, you bring this crazy personality and all of a sudden you've got, that's not it. That's not it. Folks and network executives, someone has to set the edge. Someone has to say something that takes somebody or something on. And at best, they're taking something on or somebody on that they cover. Okay. And then someone says something, and then someone says something to counter it. And then you go back and forth. And that's just because you've got colorful personalities. Doesn't get you anywhere. That doesn't, I mean, I'm not here watching a variety show. Someone has to say something and believe something and take something on. And I on those NBA shows, they do. They allow their guys to take on the league and the game itself. And no one else allows it. And hockey should, because they have the least to lose. Jimmy and Medway on the Bruce Cassidy interview on TNR yesterday. Go ahead, Jimmy.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm just excited for the season to start, but I could listen to Bruce Cassidy being interviewed for 4 hours straight. This guy is a breath of fresh air when you compare him to these other coaches, especially when we're used to hearing Bill snorting into the microphone.
No, he is.
He's open. He's honest. If I didn't like him so much as a coach, Feld, yeah, I'd say get him on the NBC broadcast, so I'm not falling asleep to that every night.
Don't damn straight. Yeah, but the thing, I don't think they'd let him say anything, but absolutely, Bruce is a breath of fresh air to listen to.
I think he's been that way since the day he got here. In fact, he's probably toned it down just a little and enough, because I felt like out of the gate, he was so blunt and direct about the way some of his players were playing that I thought, this guy's not going to make it. In 2 years, they're all going to hate him. So I think he's dialed it back a little, but he walks the line pretty well between telling the truth and not throwing his players under the bus. Like, there's a way to do it where, no, we need more there, sorry. And I think he does. He is good to listen to. He's honest.
Long commercial-free segment is next.
Boston's home for sports. Failure and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
You can listen to Felger and Mass on your phone.
I don't care.
With the 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
I'm just a sports talk radio host. I'm not a reporter.
Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
You're jumping right into the fire because apparently it was announced yesterday that there were almost 50 players that tested positive for COVID. The Dallas Stars, as we were saying, have 17 members with COVID. The NBA is having to cancel games left and right. What are you guys doing, Bruce, that's outside the normal protocols to keep yourselves from, you know, getting derailed this early in the season?
Well, I mean, when you leave the building,
the players are accountable to themselves and to their teammates. So I hope, the hope is they're staying with their immediate families or whoever's, you know, their self-contained, you know, family bubble, or if they're single guys just with themselves, basically, or, if, you know, whoever's been inside of that. And we do get tested every day, which I think the NBA does as well. But guys, once they leave here, like I said, there's protocols like, you know, who you're supposed to drive with yourself. You're not supposed to be indoors, go out for walks, have a mask on, all the normal stuff that you hear about. And after that, it's basically the discipline of the players to, you know, to follow through on that. When we go on the road, there's strict protocols. You know, we have one floor in a hotel. We eat our meals at the hotel. You can go outside, but you're not supposed to enter any you know, establishment once you leave the hotel to get exercise or a walk. So there's a lot of ask of the players. But if they want to play, we want to get this done, that's what they're going to have to do.
All right, something we haven't even mentioned yet is the NHL getting this thing in. Because the NBA is... you know, as flawless as their bubble execution was last year, I think they've failed so far this year. When I say they, I think the players have let themselves down and the league down. They've been too loose. And, you know, the NBA was way too lax with some of their rules to begin with, and the players took advantage, apparently. I mean, this, you know, they just tightened the protocols. Only now are you not allowed to have guests in your hotel room. Before, these teams could go on the road and they could bring in guests. You know, Murray, guests?
Yeah, right.
Where I think there's, you know, probably a good deal of close contact there in some of those situations.
Yeah, no.
Previously, they could have two as long as they were family members or close friends who lived in that city.
Good, define that. Close friends who live in that city.
Yeah, we just became friends via Instagram direct messages. That's
and
all.
She's here.
We're really close.
Yeah.
My God. So it's like, you know, before this, they were allowed to do that. It's like, no wonder you have entire teams shut down and games canceled. And like, no, I think the NBA, you know, they're plowing through it, and I'm sure they'll get through it. But, you know, they've lost too many games as it is, and they've thrown too much. It's just been too big of a disruption. I think they failed on it.
Okay, so Mike, other than the bubbles, what league has succeeded?
No one. It's true.
I mean, so look, part of me says... it's inevitable that young male, you know, athletes are going to go out. Like, part of me says that. Part of me wonders if it's even possible.
I don't know, Maz, if you'll ever make it on the NBC hockey broadcast. I'm sorry. I think you're out.
I didn't say anything about why they were going out. I'm just saying, you know, young males going out. Like, that's going to happen. So, I wonder now about basketball and hockey, because unlike the other two, they're played indoors. So I don't know, like, you know, maybe this whole thing about, I said this the other day, and then I think I got an email to this effect. The whole idea of passing it from one player to another in a game, like one team to another in a game, doesn't feel all that realistic to me. But the NBA is the first one indoors. Like, they, yeah. You know, the other two are outside.
You hear all the stuff, too, about how it's so much more communicable, is that the word, in hockey than in basketball. And maybe it's, you know, it's something to do with the temperature and the rink. Beadle mentioned something the other day about how they cool these arenas, or there's some sort of confluence between the air conditioning and the freezing and the duct system, where the virus sort of stays in the particles at a certain spot in the building, and that's where they're skating. Like, I can't remember what he said, but there's something about the ventilation in hockey arenas, hockey rinks, that lends to virus spread. There's also the thing about, you know, on the NBA and all these other sports, you can spread out on the bench. In hockey, you know, the guys who aren't on the ice, they cram together on the bench and then the dressing rooms. So I don't know why, but hockey is thought to be a bigger spreader than the sport of basketball. So they've got but I still think, the biggest spreader is the guests in the hotel room and that nonsense. It's the going out to clubs. It's the, you know, interacting with people who you don't know where they've been and who aren't screened. And that's what it is. I think the vast majority of these things are contracted off campus through off campus activity, not in the arena.
I don't think there's any question. Because again, if everybody in the organization, as Cassidy just said, is getting tested on a daily basis, and they just go home and go to the rink, how's it getting in?
So, as Cassidy also said, the players are accountable to each other. So, if these guys, I'd say the same thing about the hockey players, like what about every other sport? If you want to get paid, they have to have the games. And if they are going to have the games, you've got to keep it in your pants for a little bit. That's all. Simple as that. And I'm using that as an expression to my friends at NBC. That's just a broad expression.
Wear a mask, so to speak.
It just means no. It just means you just got to shut it down for the next. It sucks. But you know, it's just a little bit more here. Whatever. There's 6 months. Whatever it takes to get through your season. If you want to get paid, you just can't carry on like you used to carry on. And do you want it or not? Are you willing to do it or not? Are you willing to make that simple sacrifice or not? And, you know, we'll find out. We'll find out if the hockey players can handle it any better than the other. I mean, you're right. The non-bubble sport, I mean, it got to be a joke there in baseball early on.
Football, too.
Football became a joke with not just the cancellations and the rescheduled, but, you know, Denver plays without a quarterback in a game. You know, we got Tuesday afternoon football and Wednesday. It got stupid.
First time in league history they played a game every single day of the week.
Okay, and then, you know, basketball, I don't know where we're headed here with all these rescheduled games are going to have to do. What's that going to look like? So we'll see if hockey can be any better. But I mentioned the Broncos quarterback thing. Rich certainly asked a great question to Bruce in their interview yesterday. He mentioned the Denver Bronco quarterback situation, how they were all in the same room together and they had no quarterback, so do you have to quarantine a goalie? And he asked, do you have to keep Tuukka Rask and Yaroslav Halak separated? And Bruce said, yeah, actually, go ahead, Jimmy.
Well, we're actually trying to separate those guys, and they're good friends, and I, you know, hang out together. So we've actually talked to them about that, and we're trying to, any meeting, we're trying to get them separate. So we do the same meeting twice if it involves goalies. I would assume once we get going, they'll, you know, maybe they have to be on a separate bus to the rink in case some, you know, there's, it's the contact tracing that gets you if you're together all the time. So we're trying to split them up whenever possible. Hopefully they don't eat together. Anything that, you know, can reduce the risk, even if it's marginally, it all adds up, right? So, I mean, you can lose a goalie for a stretch of 2 weeks, right? And one of them can go in and you can manage. But to lose both your goalies would be, that would be a real kick in the, you know, beep. You know, yeah. For any team, you know, so.
The nuts, the testicles.
Yeah, there you go. I haven't been on in a while. I don't know what I'm allowed to get away with anymore.
Balls. Just let it free. Anything for balls is a green light here, Bruce.
Okay, let me give you a little TNR flavor there at the end. But
it's like the president and the vice president. He can't be on the same plane.
No, but it's so true. And he mentions the contract. It's not even them infecting each other. It's if one guy gets it, anyone who's been in close contact also gets shut down for the week.
Correct.
So they may not even have it, but because he sat next to him in the meeting, he's got to shut it down. So, you know, you two, different meetings, different sides of the room, different buses, different ends of the plane, like all of that. Like, they got to do that thing.
Hell yeah, they got to do it. Otherwise, we're going to see Vladar again. what the hell's going to happen there if that happens?
Talk about the apocalypse.
Seriously, you're better off just taking a beanbag and sticking it in goal and taking chances with that. Hey, I mean, I like the idea of making a Halak and Rask, one of them is the designated survivor. Like, you got to keep him separate from the group. You can't get both of those guys go down. You got to put Vladar in that again? Forget it. The season's over.
The full casting interview from TNR on 98.5thesportshub.com and the app. We can also catch the Ainge interview. We've been playing cuts from that as well. I do have a Brady thought of the day, so I want to come back with the Brady thought of the day and then your phones. On the Harden trade, all this Bruin stuff, we'll get to the phones, but I do have a Brady thought setting up the weekend. We'll get to an update first here from Murray. No commercials.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.